Good morning. Good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning. How many here, just a show of hands, and don't be modest, how many people here are still full from Thanksgiving? Hey, honest people here, that's fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, it was, I hope you had a nice holiday with your family and loved ones, I still haven't figured out why it is that Thanksgiving was celebrated so late this year. You know, I thought it was the third Thursday. I'm not sure why. I didn't take time to look on the internet and find out, but it just seems like, boom, here we are, and then all of a sudden, we're into the whole next holiday season, which is an exciting time, and we're heading into that now. So I appreciate the prayers as we head there this morning. As a matter of fact, our subject this morning is on the gift that keeps on giving. Before I begin, though, with all that was taking place last week and in sharing with Bobby, who was here, and other things that were going on that day, and our Thanksgiving dinner that night, there's a lot happening. And so, but I wanted to again thank you, and Carl and I both want to thank you for the opportunity to come and embark on this journey together with you in this next phase of Levittown Christian Church's ministry that has been here for a number of years, and I really believe will continue to be as long as the Lord is tarrying. He has a purpose for this ministry and this church, and so very excited about the opportunity to be a part. And one of the things I wanted to share with you just briefly today is that one of the things that I've come to believe and learn over the years is that as the person who will spend most of the time preaching from this pulpit, from this area here, is I take that very seriously. And I just want you to know that as one of the preachers here, because I'm sure other people will have the opportunity to preach at different times, is that I take the time to really dig into this particular book here. And I'm sure you all know what this is. This is God's Word. And I don't know about you, but I believe in my heart of hearts and in my mind, I believe this is the greatest book that has ever been written in the history of the universe. I don't think there's anything else out there that compares to this book. And one of the things that over the time as I've studied and learned and heard and read and been taught and continue to look into and prayerfully consider is that this is more than just a history book. This is more than just one people's history and one church's history. This is God's word out of his love for us so that we might find truth about who we are, whose we are, and who God is. And that he loves us so very much that he's given us this word to help guide us, to strengthen us, to lead us, to direct us in all areas of our life. I have found it fascinating to try to go through situations where I go, what situation in life can we come up with that this word here, this book, does not apply? And I don't know about you, but I haven't found anything. And I've honestly tried to look. But in anything from our relationships to our spiritual life to our careers, to our mission, to our ministry, to different phases of our life, and growing up as children, and becoming parents, and raising kids, and raising grandparents, and going even to things like retirement, that these things in here, in this word, addresses those things. Isn't that good? That our God loves us so much, that digging into here, we can find truth and teaching about every aspect of our life, it is good. And so I just want you to know that I take that very seriously. And week after week, I promise you, I will dig and dig and dig and find those things that will speak to your hearts and your life as you are growing, as you are going through the different phases of life, as you are dealing with challenges and dealing with the ups and the downs in life, that these things are there for you. Is that okay? Good. Amen. Good. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And we're heading into that time of the year where we go, oh, Christmas season, Christmas messages, and Christmas sermons. And one of the things about these messages is that though simple in nature that we've read over and over and over and at this time of the year, are still profound in their teachings and in how they apply to our life. And as we look at this particular passage and this particular story and this particular event, there are some truths that I hope that we can draw from in this that we'll find in our lives things that will either enhance, find more fulfilling, help us grow in our walk with the Lord. So Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12, please follow along as I read. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it arose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child and with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Let's pray. Our Father God, we come before you right now, Father, that just thanking you for your love and your grace, your mercy, your teachings, your instruction, your guidance, your blessings, your presence. And we give you thanks. And God, as we approach this part of your word, Father, may we, Father, look deeply and see the things that you are wanting us to see. Learn the things you're wanting us to learn and grow where we need to grow. Thank you for all those who are here, Father, and for those who are not able to make it this morning. Watch over them and bless them and protect them wherever they might be. And Father, for those who are sick and are struggling, we pray for healing in their life. And you would watch over them as well. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, it's that time of the year. And if you haven't already been at Amazon.com, here's the thing, is this time of the year, and if there's any way you're online and you're trying to order and it's telling you it's not going through, Amazon is not the blame. The wise men are the blame, okay? Because it all started with these guys. The whole gift-giving thing, different wise men. You want to go to the different wise men? Not these wise men. There's different wise men that we'll talk about today. All right. These guys right here. These guys are the blame, not the other guys. The other Ghostbusters. But these guys are the ones to blame because all of a sudden we're in that midst of that time of the year where it's, if we haven't already got our shopping done, which sure enough, my kids get a call or now a text from grandma about September. You know, we're approaching that time of the year. Where's your list in September? Trying to beat the crowds, beat the rush, get the deals, get the things before they're out of stock. It's that time. And these guys are the guys to blame. But yet, these are the guys who set the precedent with regards to giving and presents around this time of the year. And just a couple of things about their gift to Jesus. First of all, about their gift, it was, if you have your notes this morning, their gifts were personally given. You notice that right away, that their gifts were personally given. These were very wealthy individuals. These were very wealthy people that could have at any time just said, hey, you know what? We heard about this king way over here. Why don't we just send some stuff? And had any servant or went online to Amazon or someplace and ordered something and had it sent to them. They could have done that very easily. But these wise men, these kings, this royalty, these prestigious people, they're called magi as well, which were considered to be very wise and very well-knowing individuals, took the time to travel several weeks to bring gifts. So they were personally given. They were on a mission. Some people say they were from Iraq or that area there. And so they were bringing their personal best to this new king that was to be born. And when you think about it, aren't those gifts that are given personally some of the best gifts? You know what I mean? It's that, do you have some things around your house that are laying around your house that are there, and when somebody comes in and says, well, that's nice and that's beautiful, and you often say, I got this from so-and-so, right? Those are precious gifts. So when the garage sale comes or the time of the year for the garage sale and you're picking up stuff, you're not taking that particular gift because that came from mom. That came from dad. That came from my brother. That meant something to me. That was something very personal. There's something about personal gifts, and these guys modeled that. You notice that in verse 2 in your Bible, it says, we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And in verse 9, them were on their way. In verse 10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced. And in verse 11, they came into the house. So it was something personal, and it was personally given. Those are oftentimes the best gifts. Secondly, notice that their gifts were properly given. Properly given. These were just more than a gift. But in coming to do so, they also came with an attitude of worship. They came with an attitude of glory and honor and praise because of what they understood and their teachings and in their looking at the stars and evaluating all of that this king that was to be born was somebody very special, and they wanted to go and honor him. And so the attitude was, it was properly given. So a little bit about the way they gave gifts. But now, with regards to the kinds of gifts that we actually do at Christmas time, when you think about it, I got to thinking about this. There's different kinds of gifts that we give. We have, for example, in your notes, it says the gift for the gift. You know the ones I'm talking about? It's like a couple days before Christmas, and you're sitting there and just relaxing, and all of a sudden, you get a knock on the door, and that neighbor from down the street comes by and says, hey, just wanted to stop by and wish you guys a Merry Christmas. You haven't seen them all year long. You say hello once in a while when they come outside their house and stuff. But all of a sudden, on this particular time of the year, they show up. They were not on your Christmas card list. They were not on your shopping list. But all of a sudden, they give you a gift. And what is it that you think in your head? Oh, my goodness, I need to give them a gift. Just show of hands, how many people have ever done a gift for a gift? You know what I'm talking about? I always kind of wonder about that, you know? It's kind of like, hey, you know what? It's kind of like birthday times with relatives and things like that. Like, hey, I'm getting this person a $20 gift card, and for my birthday, guess what they're getting me? A $20 gift card. So I'm giving $20, and then they're giving $20 as well. And that $20 is just going back and forth and back and forth. But we do that sometimes. If someone gives us a gift, we feel obligated to give them a gift. That's what's feeding the department store Black Friday frenzy, is that gift for the gift mentality. And then you have the gift for a favor. Did you ever do that one? Where you have the IOUs, you know, somebody's done something, hey, they did this for us this year, really nice what they did. Now we really should do something for them. So out of obligation, we sometimes give a gift. We do that, especially in our workplaces. We get bonuses sometimes. Well, not everybody, but sometimes you get a bonus at the end of the year, right? Around Christmas time, you get a bonus. And what's that for? Now, sometimes you might think, okay, the employer's giving it because they care about their employees, but it's also a way to inspire people to work a little harder, to inspire loyalty and things like that. It's for a favor. There's an obligation there. So there's a gift for a gift, and then there's the gift for a favor that we sometimes do, but then there's a third type of gift, and that's the grace gift. That's the gift that is unrepayable. You can't pay it back. It's something that somebody's done for you just out of love, out of compassion and care. Jesus modeled that because he gave his own life. It's a grace gift, got from God. Jesus was that grace gift. You can't work for it. You can't repay it. You know, let me give you an example of one. A couple months ago, my dad had, there was all kinds of versions of this. The technical term for this is heart attack. Other versions of it were given, you know, a mild episode, something here, or a special, all kinds of different terms and names. But nonetheless, he found himself in the hospital because of this. And I remember going and visiting with him and spending some time with him and being grateful that I was able to do that. And it was interesting because he's there, and at the bottom of the bed, he says, oh, I got something for you. And he pointed to this card, this envelope, and it had my name on it. And so I was like, what's going on? So I read the card, and it was one of those cards. You ever see those cards at the store that are several pages long, that are really well-written? The kind of card that you read, it's like the Hallmark store, you know, you kind of tear up, you can't, you know, you're hoping no one's around because you just start gushing tears. It was one of those kind of cards, you know, about son, how much I love you. And it just meant so much to me, you know? And then so I have there's a prominent place on my dresser where I see that card every day. It meant so much that my father, in the midst of his pain and what he was going through at that time, was decided to find this card and be able to give that to me. And I just, it meant so much to me. That's a grace gift. The words and the things that were in there he wrote, I can never pay back. Or on my desk at home, in my home office, on my desk is several things for my kids, but on this one particular stand I have that has the Liberty Bell plate on it, on the front of it, is this like little booklet that my 22-year-old daughter, when she was 4 years old, wrote me a little book. Dad, how much I love you. Do you ever think I'm going to throw that away? I mean, I have a safe at home, a big safe at home, and there's some things in there and stuff like that. And if a thief was ever to come in, I could say, hey, you know, take whatever you want, but you ain't taking this little booklet. Do you have things like that in your life that you've been blessed with? That's a grace gift that's unrepayable? There are blessings. Those are some of the gifts we have around this time of the year. But some more about the grace gift. First of all, it's impossible to measure the cost of a great grace gift. You can't measure the cost. It's priceless, isn't it? It's kind of like when I was at First Christian Church in Urbana, Ohio. And we had a lady there, Mrs. Weiss. And I was a youth pastor there at the time. And every Sunday after church, there was two entrances and two exits. And so the senior pastor was one, and I was a youth minister, and I was over here. And people were coming through different places, and she would always come through my door. And when she would come up through my door, she's just a petite, tiny, elderly lady, and she would come up to me and just shake my hand, and then she would cup my hand, and she would put a dollar in my hand and say to me, "This is for the cookies for the kids." And I go, "Oh, Mrs. Weiss, thank you so much, and I appreciate that so much." And every Sunday, almost every Sunday, she'd come up and take my hand and then just put that little dollar in there. "That's for the cookies for the kids." And then I remember one Sunday, she came back, and with tears in her eyes, she came back and said, gave me a little dollar and put the dollar in there. And she goes, "I know I can't do a whole lot more than what I give. This is all I can do." And I said, "Mrs. Weiss, you don't realize your gift, what you think is small, is huge. It's big. These dollars have added up over the years, and those dollars have bought so many cookies for the kids and makes the kids so happy. And you know, and I tell them Mrs. Weiss gave the cookies, and they're just so grateful and thankful. And every Sunday we're able to have cookies all because of you, Mrs. Weiss. I want to thank you very much for that. It's just amazing that this has gone so far and so many cookies." And she grabbed my hand again and took the dollar back out and said, "Well, I'll hold on to this for another time then." You know, it's priceless. It's priceless, so those grace gifts out of love and care. You can't put a price on it. They mean so much and they're so measurable, okay? You know, gifts made with hands. How many people have had somebody like a grandchild or something like that make a gift, right? Grandma, grandpa, right? And where's that gift? It's some place of prominence. You got that up there because you know when they're coming over, they're going to look and see where their gift was that they made for grandma and grandpa. That's priceless. Somebody's made something with their own hands, a scarf, gloves, a hat of some kind, whatever it might be. They made it with their own hands. Those are precious. I want to challenge us this season to think about, as we're rushing to Amazon and or any online store or wherever it is, or to the department stores, to think about the fact that grace gifts can go a long way. And I would also argue the fact that grace gifts are needed more and more to bless people's lives, to make a difference, to show love and express love. And I know you know this, and I'm not here to tout anti-materialism or anything like that. I'm not. But you think about it, we're not taking this stuff with us, right? But those grace gifts, those heart gifts, we do take with us. And it's such a blessing. And it's such a blessing. And we have no idea how those things are impacting our whole life and the life of others throughout eternity. Secondly, about grace gifts, they're non-material. For example, togetherness gifts. We just celebrated Thanksgiving. How many people, just show of hands, were able to be with family, loved ones, had loved ones already? Yeah, absolutely. It's a good time to get together, isn't it? And just be with one another and laugh with one another and spend time together. Those togetherness gifts, they're priceless. To do something together, to pay a visit with somebody. Oh, it means so much for folks who haven't had somebody visit with them for a long time. It means the world to them. It does. And then you have other non-material gifts, like, for example, service gifts. So when you're thinking about, oh my goodness, my budget is this, I can only do so much, and there's so many people I want to help out. Have you ever thought about doing service gifts? I mean, some of the best stuff that we've ever gotten, right, is stuff where our kids have written out, you know, because their budgets are limited. And so they write out, you know, "I'm going to do this for you, Dad. I'm going to do this for you, Mom. This means two hugs. This particular coupon." You ever gotten one of those? You know, "This coupon means two hugs. You know, this coupon's for this or that." Mom, I tell you what, those things are, they mean so much, those special service gifts. When I was a senior minister at Joppatown Christian Church, had just done a series on service. And one of the members of the church, named Fred Walters, a dear friend of mine, He's a Ravens fan, Baltimore Ravens fan, but that nonetheless. He came and said, you know what? I've been thinking about this. He goes, I'm trying to figure out what I can do for my pastor. He said, what I want to do is I'd like to help you out in some way. What can I do for you? I'm like, I've never asked anybody to do anything for me. I don't ask for anybody's favor. And honestly, I'm not really gearing up to suggest this, that you do this for me. But nonetheless, he said, you know what I want to do? He said, we had a half acre of lawn that we had to mow every week at our house. He says, here's what I like to do. I'm going to mow your lawn every week, and I'm going to do the trim and the bushes and all that kind of stuff so that you don't have to. And then you can focus on taking care of the congregation and doing other stuff you need to do with your family. And you know what? Sure enough, once a week he would come out with his son, hop on the lawnmower tractor, and just mow the whole lawn and do all this stuff. Folks, that meant so much to me. That meant so much to me. And you know, when people do that to other people and you do that to others, people just want to pay that forward. And it means so much to other people. I cannot tell you the number of people that in the churches I serve, especially some of those folks who are elderly and it's a little slow getting around, and people come out and say, hey, this, we're going to clean your windows today. We're going to take care of this. We're going to fix this ramp that you have outside. We're going to take the leaves out of the gutters and things like that. I tell you what, it goes a long, long way in ministry, and those are priceless. Yeah, you can come over and bring a box or a gift of some kind and stuff like that. They'll get set someplace and it may be forgotten, but that act of service will not be forgotten. And I know if you were here several Sundays ago when I was talking about service and things like that, in a sense, that's that cup of cold water in Jesus' name, that act of service that we can do for other people will change this community. We can buy them all the cars and all the resources and all the kind of things, but those acts of service, the things that we do and reach out and bless other people that are priceless, that don't need a place to have inventory, that don't need a shelf to sit on, will make the difference and change this community for Christ in a very powerful way. It just will. And then we have those encouragement gifts. I married a person who one of her gifts is the gift of encouragement. And I've seen that play out in the lives of other people, of how other people who are around her feel so elevated because that's what she does, naturally. She doesn't have to gut it up. Encouragement goes a long way. To lift someone else up, especially when they're going through trials, but even times when they're not, just to affirm them, to give them some value, to bless them. When I was executive director down in Virginia at a home for boys and girls, one of the things that I used to do, people would say when I was given like a stack of like 400 receipts of people who gave a donation, people would say, "Do you need a stamp?" And I'm like, "No, I don't want a stamp. I'm going to sign my name." And they're like, "My goodness, that's a long time." But what I learned early in life is when somebody signs something personally and then adds a note to it, says a whole lot to me, especially if I've given or donated. It says a whole lot. It values me a whole lot more. And I could come to appreciate that so much. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm just trying to tell you, not to impress you, but to impress upon you the impact it has on people's lives so much that that's one of the things I did. I would write out my name and then just a little note. Hey, thank you very much. Oh, by the way, I hope you're doing really well. Just little things like that, right? And then I had a week where things were so busy, okay? I just couldn't get to all those little extra notes. I just got to the, Brian, you know how you do it? He's like, and I sent those out because I was so busy. And sure enough, a week later, I get a phone call from somebody a little upset because they didn't get their little note from me. How much, and I knew I wasn't upset about that. It just impressed upon me that people value that. Those words of encouragement, those words of support, it meant the world to them. So a few lessons from the wise men in wrapping up this season. As we think about this time of the year and as we're rushing to the computer and we're rushing to get our credit cards out, that there's so many other ways to bless people this year and to have a longer lasting impact. their gift was an unexpected gift. Understand, these guys were not Jews. Okay? They had not been studying the Old Testament. They had been doing some other things. They were not Jews. They studied the skies. And yet in that studying and in the things that they were searching, they discovered something very powerful and very special that was had a worldwide impact, and that's the birth of the King of Kings, Jesus. And they worked their way to Jesus. It was unexpected. And oftentimes the best gifts are those that are unexpected, just because. They gave with genuine joy. They could not wait to bring it to Jesus. They had to travel over deserts through all kinds of places, all kinds of threats, all kinds of hazards. They made their way there out of pure joy. And they wanted to give something personal. And they wanted to give something that will last. And it has. Because what do we talk about with these guys? Gold, frankincense, and what? Myrrh. And the last thing about these guys, they gave the gift now. They didn't think, you know what, it's not a good time of the year, we'll get around to it. No, immediately when they saw the sign and realized what was there, they took action right away. They gave the gift now. They did something about it now. They were inspired now. And why? Because all we have is today. Did you know that, by the way? Remember, I'm going to work real hard and dig real deep and share things with you that will change your life, that will bless your life, all from God's word and from God's heart to you. All we have is today. Nobody can guarantee us tomorrow. Do you understand that? Do you all realize that? In some ways, tomorrow doesn't even really exist. It's something we talk about tomorrow, but if we actually go to sleep at night and wake up, guess what? It's today. Think about that. That's all we've got, folks. It's today. What is motivating your heart right now? What is inspiring you? What is prompting you? Well, I'll get to that tomorrow. I'll get to that next week. Yeah, it's on my mind. It's something I should do, but I'll wait around. Or are we kind of caught up in this tomorrow? They were going to be all they wanted to be tomorrow. None would be braver or kinder than they tomorrow. A friend who was troubled and worried, they knew, would be glad for a lift, and he needed it too. And on him they would call and see what they could do tomorrow. Each morning they stacked up the letters they write tomorrow and thought of the folks they would fill with delight tomorrow. The greatest of people they just might have been, the world would have opened its heart up to them. But in fact, they passed on and faded from view, and all that they had left when their living was through was a mountain of things they intended to do tomorrow. Tomorrow doesn't exist. We just have today. So whatever God's laying on your heart, not me, whatever God's laying on your heart, maybe that's something we need to do today and bless somebody else and bring the gift that's unrepayable, that's unexpected, that's a blessing. That's going to be long-lasting and make a difference, because those gifts really count. Amen? Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you, and we thank you so much for the gift of Jesus, who makes all things possible. And we have the hope of glory through him, Father, and we are so blessed. And yet your word teaches us that you continue to bless us over and over again in so many ways. So many things that we take for granted that you're there blessing us and you're showing your grace. And so, God, in the midst of this season, in the midst of the stuff that's just telling us where to shop and where to go and what to get, in the midst of all those things, as good as that might be, Father, I pray that we as a people, Father, will be inspired, be motivated by those gifts of service, those gifts of of compassion, those grace gifts, those special encouragement gifts, the kind of gifts that will make a huge impression on the lives that we touch, and even the lives that will be touched today, because we're not waiting for tomorrow. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.